What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. I am joined by Brandon Deutsch and Jake Dicker. We went from a couple of days ago having like six or eight people in the studio. Now we're on Zoom. Just my two guys here. Brandon, Jake, how are we doing?
Man, I'm good. It's a beautiful morning. Wherever you are,
yeah,
Friday,
exactly.
The weekend.
Yeah, we're getting close. This MLB events start tomorrow with the Futures game, the Celebrity game. And then we roll it right into the weekend. Should be a really fun couple of days.
Exactly. And you two are the perfect to talk to. You are what Rob Manfred wants. Young baseball fans. We don't really have that. The average age of probably baseball fans are up in their 60s, but you guys are kind of like, they're hoping for more young fans. All right, let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Hit it, Brandon.
Pacers offered DeAndre Ayton a four-year, $133 million contract sheet. It was quickly matched by the Phoenix Suns, who have been adamant in the past about not paying Ayton more than $30 million a year. How does this affect the organization's future, and would you have made the same move?
So the Suns had to match the deal, and DeAndre's lucky that at least the Pacers kind of helped him out by moving this process along. Whether the Suns want him or not, he is a piece that they have to have. I mean, he is a young big. You guys can probably touch on, you know, what exactly this means or what the guys are talking about in terms of perhaps a KD trade. But, you know, this was something that the Suns had to do. You could not lose DeAndre for nothing. They were in a position that they could keep him. Now, listen, if they keep him, they're still, we have to remember, they were the number one seed a year ago. They were in the finals the year before that. I mean, like, if the Suns had the same team, I think that they have to tweak it, obviously. It's not the worst team. It's not like, you know, they're like in a tough spot, but no shock there. I don't know if that's the quickest that a contract has been matched. Normally teams allow it to linger. This one was extremely fast.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I actually thought, I know Woj and Shams reported that it was going to be matched. I was honestly skeptical about the Suns matching it for a couple of reasons. Like I mentioned, they've been adamant in the past about not giving Ayton $30-plus million a year. So obviously be $33.25 million a year. And they don't want to pay a center, right? But James Jones, in a couple interviews, despite what the internal reports have said, wants to keep this team together. At this point, they're not going to get Kevin Durant. Their best shot at contention was giving Ayton the money and seeing what happens. I know they can't trade him until January 15th, and we'll get into that in a second. But this was overall the right move. I like Ayton's outlook. I think this is not an overpay. I mean, this is a top, four center in the league. I know he's a modern NBA center, but He's starting to shoot the 10 to 14 footers. You know what I'm saying? He's dominant in the post. So I really like it, but I was skeptical. And I went on TikTok and made a couple videos saying, I don't care what Woj and Shum say. I don't think they're going to match it. And then, of course, the haters came back and said, this aged poorly, but it's all good because I got tons of views because everyone was commenting this aged poorly. And I love it. I love all the hate. But Jake, go on.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't see teams let their 23-year-old first-round pick walk very often. I mean, DeAndre Ayton averaged 17 and 10 last year. Like, this isn't some scrub that we're talking about. I think keeping that team together, like Arash, you said, it's not like they were a bad team by any means. Like, I mean, they were the top of the Western Conference. They fall short, yes, but I think they have the pieces, like the core pieces in CP3, Booker, and Ayton. To come and play and compete in the Western Conference every single night. So I think they had to match it. I think it makes sense. And, you know, I think DeAndre can send the Pacers a fruit basket for kind of helping him move this thing along.
If you're DeAndre, though, do you feel a certain way that the Suns have not committed to you and saying that we want you a part of this team long term? I mean, they basically had to wait till the Pacers gave him the contract. They matched it, but it seems like that they matched it because he is a trade piece. I could be wrong there, but if you're DeAndre, how do you view your relationship with the Suns right now?
Yeah, I think
it's go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Jake. No, it's cool. Go for it.
No, I mean, I think it's probably it's got to be a little weird, right? Like, yeah. Walking back into a facility or a locker room where it didn't really seem like if they could have given you a lot less money, they would have.
Yeah.
And so it's hard because it's not like, as I said, the guy averaged 17 and 10. It's not like he wasn't doing what they drafted him to do, if that makes sense. But yeah, I feel like it's got to be weird walking back into that building and whenever they, you know, training camp starts up, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, Jake, I'm with you 100%. They've been honestly quite disrespectful to Ayton. Monty Williams didn't even play him through the stretches of some of those big playoff games when I think he could have made a serious impact. Remember against the Mavericks in the first couple games that they won, Ayton was a huge part of that. When he put up 20 and 10, it was almost guaranteed the Suns would win that game because he had an impact on the offensive end as well as, of course, an impact on the defensive end. I agree with Arash here. I do think they still move Ayton for maybe a Miles Turner on January 15th. And I think it's possible. I think that's a cheaper move. The Pacers still are going to want Ayton. I still think this is going to happen. But a sign and trade obviously can't happen because of the restricted free agency. So I'm with it. So with DeAndre Ayton unavailable via trade until January 15th, and the Suns unlikely having the pieces to acquire Kevin Durant, where do you guys see Durant ending up now, and when do you see a deal possibly happening?
I'm more and more of the belief that KD will stay. I just think that the haul that the Nets will want in return, and by the way, I am on the Brooklyn Nets side here. I mean, you cannot trade a transcendent talent for scraps, and I know it's not scraps, but like, there is no way the Nets are going to get back what they want. And with KD, I still believe that he's a pro's pro. He's not Kyrie. I don't think if KD came back, he will be a problem for this team. I think that they have to find a way to move Kyrie. And I know this was a small thing, but these things don't happen by accident. When the Nets sent a picture of the team for potential season tickets, KD was included in the picture, Kyrie was not. So I'm beginning to think more and more likely KD, at the very least, starts the season with the Nets. And then we look to maybe January 15th, maybe the trade deadline, maybe KD gets moved. But again, we have to realize how rare it is. I mean, you almost have to go back to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for a top five player, top two, top three player being traded. And again, KD's not on a contract year. It's not like the Brooklyn Nets have to move him. So the more that I think about it, the more that I think KD will be back.
And I think this is going to be a situation where KD has more incentive to come back if Kyrie's not on the team. I know people are saying like, oh, KD will want to come back if Kyrie's going to come back. I think it's the opposite. I don't think Kevin Durant wants anything to do with Kyrie Irving and the drama he brought last year. And obviously that was indicative of that promotional email where Kyrie wasn't on there. and KD was. I agree with you, Arash. I think as of now, you know, the Suns never had an amazing package. They would have had to include Ayton in a sign and trade with the third team to get the compensation and players needed to acquire Kevin Durant, because they were never going to part ways with Devin Booker. But who's the best team? I mean, the best team to get traded to now is the Raptors, who weren't even on Kevin Durant's preferred list. They have the best package right now. And the Pelicans, apparently, I don't know if this is true, but according to Scoop, you know, one of the insiders for the Pelicans, I don't know if you saw this, Jake, but Brandon Ingram, Larry Nance, and picks was declined by the Pelicans. What a terrible deal, the decline by the Pelicans. I would have 100% done that deal, in my opinion. But I'm also on the belief that the Nets are asking too high. I know, Arash, this is a top three player, definitely a top five player if you want to go into what's going on. But he also couldn't get a game against the Boston Celtics, with a pretty talented team. So I think that, and he's been injury prone the past couple of years. So I think that's where teams are kind of hesitant to give up a guy like Brandon Ingram. Then again, if I'm the Pelicans and I can see a Kevin Durant, CJ McCollum, Zion Williamson, Jonas Valanciunas type team, that's a team that could win the West. So I would have made that deal. But I do think KD will be back in Brooklyn. And I think now we're starting to get, I know we haven't heard any Kyrie rumors, but we're starting to see that Kyrie may be the only one traded before training camp starts.
Yeah, I saw the Brandon Ingram thing as well, which kind of surprised me. But with DeAndre Ayton, they also worked in what I believe is a full year of a no trade clause into this deal, where after January 15th, he can basically have the right to decline any deal that he's involved in, which I think is very big, because now he has leverage in terms of where he can end up. And with KD, I mean, I feel like it just happens more and more by the day where I feel like he doesn't leave. Like, Toronto's been pretty adamant about not wanting to include Scottie Barnes in a deal, which would be their, you know, their main piece if they don't want to include guys like Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam. It's just, you're never going to get exactly what you want if you're Brooklyn. We talked about it the other day with when we were talking about potentially trading Shohei Ohtani, and how you're never going to get that value back for what you're trading. And I feel like it's the same type of thing with Kevin Durant, where he's so far and away better than any player you're going to acquire in a trade, that it's just hard to gather the pieces where it feels like you're getting enough. It's where it justifies moving him.
100%. The Dodgers won yet again last night and will now play the Angels going into the All-Star break. Is this going to be an easy sweep for the Dodgers? Would this be a failure of a series if they don't sweep a team that has gone 12-35 over its past 47 games?
My favorite question every morning is Brandon saying, "Did you watch the Angels last night?" Wait, let me correct myself. Nobody watches this team. Listen, if Shohei Ohtani is pitching, I will definitely try to watch, and we as a group have to go see him. He is a transcendent talent, generational talent, so I definitely want to see him pitch and play. I love, by the way, that this series is happening as we go into the break. A lot of people are here now, so they'll be able to go watch those games. I do think it will be a sweep. The way that the Dodgers are playing, like going into the break, is fantastic. So they should sweep, but you never know, right? It's the freeway series. Something crazy could happen. But Brandon, you've watched this team. Like, even though it went to 10 innings, they were this close. They could not find a way to win.
Yeah, they played a good baseball game last night, and they still lost. The offense turns anemic when the pitching's good, and when the pitching's bad, the offense is great. That's kind of been like the thing for this team. So we'll see what happens. They got Patrick Sandoval on the mound tonight against Clayton Kershaw. I know we'll bring it up to Duarte. They'll probably say, "Oh yeah, Kershaw's going to dominate him." But if you've really seen Patrick Sandoval, he's got the best changeup in the MLB. It's really unhittable. So if he's on his game, that's when he starts to dominate. He's been up and down recently, which is why his ERA went up to 2.95. But this is the Angels' best shot at winning tonight against Kershaw. However, it's important to note, the Angels cannot hit slow-throwing lefties. And I should rephrase that. Slow-throwing, like Kershaw's still 91-94. But, like, you know what I mean. They cannot hit left-handers that throw under 97. They just can't. They can't do it. They've never been able to the past 5 years. But maybe much less left-handers. They can't hit anybody right now, right? So, I mean,
left-handed, right-handed.
I mean, but lefties especially, oh my gosh, if Tim Anderson came in and pitched against the Angels, luckily he pitched yesterday, oh, he would have dominated them. Slow-throwing lefties, they can't touch them. So, Dodgers are going to sweep the series.
If you're going to call Kershaw a slow-throwing lefty, just put best to slow-throwing lefty of this generation. Just include that. But I was thinking about this last night. I've been doing this show with you guys for what, like a month and a half?
Yeah.
I think our first show we were talking about the Angels as potentially winning the AL West. And then very slowly it changed to the Angels are a couple games back of a wild card spot, but they're fine. And now it's there, you know, now we're talking about them, how we've been talking about them for the last week, about how they are just blowing everything up. But I wouldn't call it a failure if the Dodgers weren't to sweep this series. I mean, it's baseball, right? The best teams win about 66% of their games, and anything can happen. Especially when you're playing, you know, in the freeway series, which always tends to be a little bit of a hostile environment in Anaheim. Anaheim, not Los Angeles, it's Anaheim. But yeah, I mean, they're 12 and 35 over the last 47. Like, that's not a team you want to lose to, but the Dodgers do have a tendency, especially this year, of somewhat playing down to their competition. Like, when, I mean, they've got swept by Pittsburgh, struggling against teams that they should definitely be taking a series from. But, you know, anything can happen, but you definitely don't want to lose two games to a team that you're considerably better than and then have to sit around for 4 days during an all-star break and think about it. You definitely want to roll into that break on a high if you can.
Yeah, and real quick, I mean, just because it's the Friday show, you both will be going to the draft. First of all, I love that the draft is getting this kind of a stage. If you look at the stage that they have in Los Angeles, it looks like the NFL draft. Obviously, it's not that kind of a draft. No one really knows the top prospect generally, you know, the common fan. Tell me, I mean, I think you guys will both be there on Sunday. What can fans expect from the draft?
It'll be fun. I mean, we were walking down there the other night before the Sparks game, and I thought I was walking through Coachella with that stage.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing is huge. But the draft, I mean, the issue with the MLB draft is that half of the top prospects are high school kids that if the casual fan knew too much about it, honestly, they might be a little creepy. And half of them are in college, and college baseball doesn't get the coverage that other major sports do. So, and also another thing is you're not going to see these guys for 4 or 5 years because they're going to go through the minor league system. So it doesn't get the attention that other major sports drafts do, but it's a fun event. I mean, it's a life-changing day for you know, all of these guys. Half of them won't sign. Half of them will go back to school or do whatever, but it's free. And I think it's MLB's way of trying to grow the game in a sense. It's very easy for them because it's not like their draft, you can't attend it usually anyways. It's in like the MLB Network studios.
Yeah.
So I think having an audience and kind of giving people an insight to the game that they wouldn't usually have is a great move by Manfred, one of his very few good moves of his realm.
Yeah, I agree with Jake on this one. Just going off on that, the main point there is you won't see these guys for 4 years if they're high schoolers and 3 to 4 if they're college, right? So you can't just go into this thinking like other drafts, like, oh, we're going to see Paolo Banchero, you know, next year. Or we're going to see, you know, Garrett Wilson play for the Jets immediately. No, you're not going to see Tamar Johnson, Andrew Jones, like, especially the high schoolers, or even Brooks Lee, college shortstop from Cal Poly, in the majors for at least two to three, four years, right? So, but I love that Manfred is making this a huge event. I'm completely with it. Jeannie Buss recently echoed a statement Rob Pelinka made by saying, we're not done yet, our roster is not complete. And in the Lakers, regardless of whether they will get Kyrie Irving or not, will be making moves before training camp. What moves or players do you think the Lakers will be looking at?
They have to make a move. I do think Kyrie happens at some point, and if the Lakers are lucky, it'll happen before the season. I do not want to go into training camp with the awkwardness of Russell Westbrook and LeBron James on the same team. At Summer League, it was crazy. Like, I knew that they weren't on, you know, on the best of terms, but the fact that they were both on the court during the Summer League and didn't even cross paths, didn't even kind of just pretend in front of the cameras, it looked bad. And so the fact of, you know, just to think that they may share the same locker room, the same court, I think that the Lakers have to make a move. So if it's not Kyrie, they got to be looking to make some kind of a move. Because, listen, they can say what they want publicly. They cannot run it back. You cannot run back a below 500 team. That's not happening.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%, Arash. I think even if the Kyrie deal doesn't happen, which I still think it does because Kyrie wants to be a Laker again, I don't trust that New York Post article, not because it's the New York Post, because it's in New York. and that's important to note, like that's probably a leverage play by Kyrie or the Nets. But I have to say this, Miles Turner could be available via trade. Buddy Hield could be available via trade. And both San Antonio and Indiana have 30 plus million in cap space to take on a bad contract like Westbrook. So look to them. Rob should be on the phone right now trying to get engaged in a three-team deal, especially with the Kyrie Irving thing. So I think that's definitely possible, but they need shooting regardless, right? If they get Kyrie Irving, they need Joe Harris along with them. So they need shooters.
Yeah, just echoing what Brandon said, those are the names that are on kind of on my radar as well. They've also, you know, been linked to potentially acquiring Patrick Beverley, which I don't know how much that accomplishes. But, you know, Miles Turner and Buddy Hield are the two names that everyone's been floating around if a Kyrie deal isn't in place. And with, you know, Indiana not acquiring DeAndre Ayton, him going back to Phoenix, I think it makes that move even more likely.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, here's the thing about it. Rob will make me a deal. When I was at Summer League, I talked to some folks who are in the know about Rob Pelinka and how he's perceived. And the general consensus is Rob will get nervous at the end. They're going to drag this out, and he's going to give up more picks than he should. And listen, if you're a fan, like, I have no problem with that. If this is between them getting Kyrie and not having a pick in 2029, I know that may be a very high pick. They have a championship window right now. They have, in my view, when they're right, two of the top 10 players. So if you can get Kyrie and make this deal happen, I am all for that. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Michael Duarte from KNBC4 in Los Angeles. When we return right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. And today, the Sports Map Radio Network. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's go out to the Circa Sports guest hotline right now. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com for details. And here he is, our good friend from KNBC4 in Los Angeles, Michael Duarte. Michael, how are you?
Arash, it is officially MLB All-Star Week. Here in Los Angeles, it officially starts today on Friday, so I am very excited to partake in all of the MLB All-Star Game festivities going on.
So I'm going to throw you a softball just to kind of begin this. What are you looking forward to most? Again, we have the Home Run Derby, we have the Futures Game, we have the Celebrity Game, we have the game itself on Tuesday. What are you looking forward to most?
Yeah, thank you for the softball question, especially because in honor of the celebrity softball game taking place on Saturday at Dodger Stadium, which I will be at, not playing in, but be at to talk to some of these guys like Bad Bunny and Bryan Cranston, one of my favorites, Walter White himself. But I am most looking forward to, I think, Arash, the Home Run Derby. We talked about this before. We did not know the field then. We know the field is set. We got Pete Alonso, the polar bear, the two-time defending champion, back to try to defend his title. I like that of him hitting bombs at Dodger Stadium. Albert Pujols, Tio Alberto, giving hugs out to all the all those contestants. I like that. Kyle Schwarber, a favorite probably to win the Derby. Juan Soto, Ronald Acuna Jr., two young studs in the Derby. And I was telling you last week, it'll be interesting to see if Will Smith made the All-Star game, because I knew he has not yet. It would be interesting to see, because he said he wanted to participate in the Derby if he did. No other Dodger said yes, as we talked about last week on the show. So I said I'd like to see Jock in it as like an old friend, like a throwback. Instead, they're bringing Corey Seager, the 2020 World Series MVP himself, to also hit bombs back at Dodger Stadium. I'm sure he will get the loudest ovation among the Dodgers fans. So I'm looking forward to watching the Home Run Derby and to see if anybody can hit it out of the stadium completely, a la Giancarlo Stanton.
Michael, you kind of touched on it already, but there is no participant in the Derby from the host team for the first time since 2012. Do you know if any Dodgers were offered slots and, you know, if they turned them down or if they just went in opposite direction with this year's Derby?
Yeah, we talked about it last week on Arash's show. They asked Mookie Betts. Obviously, he's one of the home run hitting leaders in the National League. He turned it down, especially he wants to rest that cracked rib, and he's going to be starting in the All-Star game the next day on Tuesday. So the most rest he could get during this little stretch here to kind of rest his injuries and that ailing rib he wanted to take. After Mookie Betts, they then asked Freddie Freeman. They asked Freddie Freeman if he'd like to do it. Freddie Freeman also turned them down. One, he's not an All-Star yet. The man has more hits than a contract killer, and they still haven't given him an All-Star selection, which I think is a travesty, to be honest with you. But he turned it down. He said that he does want to participate in the Home Run Derby one day. He would absolutely accept down the road. Obviously, that won't be at Dodger Stadium. But he wanted to wait until his other two children would be a little bit more older and could watch and understand what's going on and be a bigger part of it. And then the third person they turned to was Will Smith, Dodgers catcher Will Smith. Obviously, he hit a bomb in St. Louis here during the week in that little three-game series the Dodgers took 2 of 3 from. He said he would be interested in doing the Home Run Derby, but only if he was selected to the All-Star team, probably because he has vacation plans if he isn't an All-Star. And if he is an All-Star, he'll stick around. But he has not been named an All-Star as of the recording of this podcast, as of Friday. So, those were the people that they asked on the Dodgers. So it's not for MLB lack of trying and trying to get a hometown Dodger player in the Derby. It was just that the guys they asked turned it down or had their own stipulations attached to it. And so I guess Corey Seager is the best consolation prize. And talking about what Will Smith said, so for listeners out there who might be like angry that Will Smith isn't going to be in the Derby, Corey Seager was not an All-Star until some weird loophole put him in on Thursday. George Springer was voted on by the players as a player selection, but they picked too many outfielders, I guess. And so they needed an infielder. So MLB stepped in, took George Springer out because of the too many outfielder clause and put Corey Seager in. And then I don't think it's a coincidence within minutes of Corey Seager being named an All-Star. So therefore knowing he'll be on a flight to Los Angeles, probably a Sunday, that he would also be participating in the Home Run Derby as the last and final participant. So I think he had a stipulation also saying, yeah, I'll do the Derby only if I'm named an All-Star. And obviously that happened. So the dominoes then fell.
100%, Michael. Also, Corey Seager's been one of the hottest hitters in the bigs over the past couple of weeks. So I think he deserved it. I'm more out on like, how did Austin Riley not get an All-Star selection with 25 home runs, Atlanta being almost in first place? I know they're like a game back of the Mets. Almost the league leader in RBIs and hitting .285. But I wanted to ask about Ohtani here. Arash and I and Jake and Armand and in the team, we've been talking about Ohtani starting the All-Star game. I think he's the best pitcher in the American League this year. I know Shane McClanahan is fantastic, but Ohtani, he's given up like one run in the past, I don't know, 45 innings, some crazy like that. And he's had four straight games with 10 Ks and 6 innings pitched. He's hitting the ball well. What do you think? You think he starts versus a Tony Gonsolin or a Clayton Kershaw? I know Alcantara is the favorite to start, but I think you're at Dodger Stadium. You kind of have to go with Gonsolin or Kershaw, and I think it'd be great if it's a freeway thing and you put Ohtani on the mound.
Yeah, so from the American League, I think it'd be great for Ohtani to start. You know, speaking of what you were talking about, yeah, I think it's one run, but since June 3rd, When Ohtani pitches, the Angels are a perfect 6-0. When someone else pitches, they're 6-25 over that same span. And fun fact, speaking of the Home Run Derby, they asked Ohtani to participate in the Home Run Derby this year. He declined. He did not want to be a part of the Home Run Derby. So, it'll be interesting to see if I think he's the obvious choice to start in the All-Star game. I really, really do. It'll be interesting to see if he actually accepts it if they were to ask it. And I think it, but I was doing the math in my head yesterday because here we are Friday. And I don't know when fans will be listening to this, Arash, hopefully mostly Friday. But if anybody tunes in, you know, after the fact, Clayton Kershaw is expected to pitch on Friday night in Anaheim against the Angels. And if you do the math, that's only going to give him 3 days rest, I believe, right? Until he was supposed to be starting the All-Star game. He's the favorite, I would think, at this point to start the All-Star game, followed by Tony Gonsolin. But the way it lines up, Tony Gonsolin would be ready to rock on full rest, whereas Clayton Kershaw would be pitching on 3 days rest, which isn't ideal for someone of his age. I mean, if you're just going out and throwing an inning, maybe it's not a big deal. But I still think, just for the optics of it, the nostalgia of it, and the fact that he's never started an All-Star game in his career, which I thought was very surprising when I heard that stat, it would be the perfect time to see Clayton Kershaw start at Dodger Stadium and hopefully just face three batters and then come out and then eventually see Gonsolin in there. But yeah, I would love to see Kershaw versus Ohtani. I think that'd be a great, great, perfect matchup, starting pitching matchup for the All-Star game.
Yeah, my guess is he would only go, one inning or two innings. So I don't know if he needs full rest. But the great thing about you, Michael, is that you don't just go to the games itself. You really immerse yourself in what's happening in Los Angeles. You're from here. And I do like the fact that Major League Baseball is taking over downtown Santa Monica, Dodger Stadium. What does your schedule look like? Will you be at the draft? By the way, Jake and Brandon are going to be two of the youngest people who are very excited about the draft. I had no idea about the draft. I mean, I really don't know who these kids are. And again, we probably won't see them for quite some time. Will you be at the draft? What else will you be doing?
Well, I won't be at the draft physically itself. I probably will go to Downtown LA Live at some point on Sunday during the draft. They're having a draft after party at Novo, I believe, Nova, the restaurant there over by the bowling alley. So I will be partaking in that, as you and I just talked about, as far as like some of the after parties. But here's my schedule, because that is the $100 question, right, Arash? What is our plan? So, like I said, this podcast is recorded on Friday. Friday is the kickoff. This is when the Santa Monica Pier, what they are calling All-Star Oceanfront, I guess is the official name, is opening up. So my plans today are to head over to the official MLB All-Star House in the Hollywood Hills today. Then I'll be heading to the MLB All-Star Oceanfront to kind of get a tour and see what that is all about. They're going to be doing yoga on the beach every day. They're going to be having batting cages on the beach, fields for kids to play in, sandcastle competitions. A nonprofit organization called Heal the Bay will be cleaning up the beach with volunteers who want to clean up the beach. Topps just contacted me, the baseball trading card company. They have a pop-up truck where they'll be giving out free baseball cards and free Topps swag for anybody who comes in. All of this kicks off today, and then tomorrow at 10 a.m. is the grand opening of MLB Play Ball Park, Capital One Play Ball Park. I got to get the sponsor's name in there. Rosh, you taught me that. That's kicking off Saturday morning. And I don't know if you got to do a little hard hat tour of that yet, Arash, but that's at the convention center. They have murals up. They have giant baseballs. It is essentially like the NFL experience, which we just witnessed at the Super Bowl in February at the convention center. They also took over LA Live area. And they also took over, speaking of the ESPYs after party, they also took over the top of the parking lot that's located adjacent to LA Live and what used to be, I guess, the Microsoft Theater, or now is the Nokia Theater. So where that after party used to be up there on the rooftop is now fields and all taken over by MLB. So that takes on Saturday. That opens up for fans all day long. They're going to be block parties, music, giveaways. They have all these legends of the game going to be there, signing autographs, meeting fans. So that's going to be exciting. I'm going to head over after checking that out on Saturday back to Dodger Stadium to interview some of these celebrity softball players who will be competing. We mentioned Walter White, Bryan Cranston, Rob Lowe is participating, Bad Bunny, JoJo Siwa, among others. So the Miz, from WWE, Arash, we know the Miz well. So these are the participants. I'll be talking to them. The Futures game's going on, so we get to see Bobby Miller and Diego Cartaya and Miguel Vargas. Sunday, as you mentioned, is the MLB draft. I'll be checking out the after parties for that. Dodgers don't select, I believe, until 40th overall. So a lot of time before we get to see who the Dodgers select there. And then Monday, obviously the Home Run Derby, will be excited about that. There's a couple after parties going on. David Ortiz is throwing an after party that I'll be attending Monday night. And then Tuesday, the Midsummer Classic itself, another after party after that. And then, geez, Wednesday is the ESPYs. And then obviously, you know, the after party after that. So it's going to be a busy week, all kicking off here on Friday.
I love it. This is great.
Michael, by the way, you got to get on TikTok. So the kids are on TikTok. And so like today would be a perfect day for you to start where you're beginning up in the Hollywood Hills. Then you're going to Santa Monica. You're doing yoga. But listen, I mean, like your schedule, that's why I'm just going to follow you, Michael. And wherever you go, I'm going to be there, too.
You have a day in the life. Always day in the life with after party enthusiast Michael Duarte.
Hey, also, Michael, you have to understand. There's a clear path for you on TikTok right now with baseball this weekend. Not as many baseball creators as like basketball guys like me and football guys like me. So you could do it, especially with that tank top right there. Show off the muscles. Get a couple female followers too. You're chilling.
Well, it's funny. I was just having this conversation with a friend of mine, a younger friend of mine who's also on TikTok. The plan is to put my dog on TikTok.
That could do it too.
That works.
Doing all the stuff my dog does, which is amazing. During Amazon Prime Day, Tuesday, Wednesday of this past week, I purchased a bunch of like buttons. So I'm going to teach my dog how to talk. So she can like hit a button to communicate, which means she'll probably be hitting the food button all day, every day, nonstop. That's what she's obsessed with. But yeah, that was the plan, is to just teach my dogs cool tricks. Like she rides motorcycles, she paints, she swims, she does all sorts of tricks. So maybe start with her. She'll go viral. Then maybe I'll do my baseball blog on it.
Michael, I got a question for you. The Futures game, as you mentioned, is Saturday. For the average fan that may not know too much about, you know, the Dodgers farm system and guys like Diego Cartaya, Bobby Miller, and Miguel Vargas, who will be playing in this game, what should they know and what is to love about these three guys who will be taking the field?
Well, Jake, that's something you should be writing about, right? With True Blue. Congratulations on that, because that is absolutely what that audience for the True Blue loyal fans like to see. They like to talk about the upcoming prospects. What they're going to see, in my opinion, is Walker Buehler 2.0 or something similar to that in Bobby Miller. He was a first round pick out of Louisville. Fans got to see a brief glimpse of him in the Freeway series, the 3-game exhibition series that took place before the regular season, before opening day. He got to pitch at Dodger Stadium against the Angels in there. And in my opinion, he pitched really well. I think he struck out Otani at one point. I think that was the highlight of that game for him, he said. So he looked really good. So they're going to get to see, you know, a frontline starting rotation pitcher for the Dodgers potentially sooner rather than later. He might even be called up to make his major league debut as soon as next season, but they'll get a glimpse of him in that game. Diego Cartaya is probably a little bit further off. He was promoted to high A this season, but he is just hitting bombs. So if you want to see a left-handed power hitting catcher, Diego Cartaya is your guy. I can't really tell you a comp of him very well. Maybe Yasmani Grandal, but that doesn't do it justice because he's a much better defensive catcher as well. But he's a little bit further off than Bobby Miller. And then of course, Miguel Vargas, a guy that they've been putting in the outfield recently. He's a guy that we might even seen called up, you know, this season. He's much closer to being seen in the big leagues than any other player participating in that game for the Dodgers. But I like this Futures game prospect because it's not just like your top prospect 1, 2, and 3. They take a guy from single A, double A, triple A, the guys that are most talked about, the hottest guys that are on the radar of fans even, and they put them in this showcase. It's only a 7-inning showcase. It's not a serious thing. It's an exhibition. Of course, the Dodgers will be playing in Anaheim at the exact same time that this game goes on, ironically. But I still think if fans are coming out, especially to go see Bad Bunny play softball or the celebrity softball game, or if they're going to go see the Becky G concert at Dodger Stadium afterwards. So this tells me they're targeting the Latino audience heavily at Dodger Stadium for Saturday's showcases. You're going to see, in my opinion, three guys that within the next 3 years, you'll probably see in a Dodger uniform at the major league level. So that part about it is pretty exciting.
Yeah, Michael, I know we've been touching on baseball, but I wanted to ask about the Kyrie situation here. Arash and I and Jake discussed earlier in the first segment that, you know, there's kind of frozen talks right now, not hearing much on Twitter, but that Rob should be able to get a deal done for Kyrie eventually, even if Kevin Durant stays in Brooklyn, which I think is looking more and more likely. What are your thoughts here? What do you think is going to happen in the coming weeks? Is this something that's going to drag on until training camp, or do you see or envision Kyrie being a Laker, or what other moves do the Lakers have if they don't get Kyrie?
Guys, you guys should be telling me, right? Kyrie was at Summer League with you guys last week. So you guys were closer to him to ask him these questions than I was. And I'm not sure if it was Kyrie Irving or the lead singer of Jamiroquai at that game. But anyway, this Kyrie Irving situation with the Lakers is as tangled as my grandmother's knitting ball of yarn. And it just keeps adding more and more string to it. It seems like as the days go on, as we start to hear leaks as far as what the Nets want in return, what the Lakers are willing to offer, plan Bs, plan Cs. And then, of course, it doesn't help when you have Darvin Ham at Summer League sitting there talking so great and boasting about Russell Westbrook and how he wants to play with Russell Westbrook, but yet you have LeBron and Westbrook sitting on opposite sides of the Summer League court and not interacting. And then you got in like dark alleys and dark corners, Sean Marks of the Nets and Rob Pelinka talking in a dark little crawl space with Wojnarowski. Woj waiting in the wings for some sort of Woj bomb. Look, as Pelinka said during that Summer League, that is a great time for GMs to get together, start talking about these things face to face, start seeing what deals look like, what packages look like, and don't take this DeAndre Ayton offer, which was the largest offer in NBA history. Don't take that for granted, because that by the Suns matching that offer sheet, it allows them to potentially be a part of a Kevin Durant trade if the Nets are interested in that now. It takes the Pacers off the hook for that. For if they were going to spend this money on an actual center like this, maybe they wouldn't be looking to rebuild. So now that they've traded Brogdon and some other guys, maybe you could see them trading away Buddy Hield, which is a backup package I know the Lakers are interested in as well. The Charlotte Hornets have a potential deal for Gordon Haywood and somebody the Lakers could make. So it seems like we are all sitting around waiting for the Kevin Durant domino to fall. Now that the DeAndre Ayton thing situation is resolved, maybe the Suns get in on this Durant sweepstakes. Maybe they don't. But to me, it seems like that domino needs to fall first before a Kyrie to the Lakers deal can happen. But he wants to be a Laker. He's letting everybody know that he wants to be a Laker. LeBron, the Lakers want him to be a Laker. So to me, it's inevitable that it happens. I think we just have to wait for the Durant situation to resolve itself first.
No doubt about that. I mean, this trade, in my view, will happen, whether it happens in July or August. At some point, this deal will happen. I think it helps Brooklyn, quite frankly. I think it helps the Lakers, obviously. And I think at the end of the day, Rob will have to part with more than he'd like to, but that's fine. That's fine. The Lakers will once again go into next season as contenders. Michael, you're the best. I will see you today and this weekend. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again on Monday. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing,
currency chasing worldwide through the hard times. What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun. Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.